You're listening to World Watch Weekly by Open Doors Canada with co-hosts Jared Vandermeulen and Andrew Croft. On today's episode, we have a special interview from the field to talk about the number 7 country on the World Watch List, Sudan, and how you can pray for believers there. For more information about Open Doors Canada or the World Watch List, please visit our website at www.opendoorsca.org. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to another episode of World Watch Weekly. We are so excited for this episode. We have a special guest joining us from the field to talk about the number 7 country on the World Watch List, Sudan.
That's right. Yasin is the director of the fieldwork in East Africa, which includes more than 10 countries, many of them in the top 50 of the World Watch List. Yasin has been engaged in different aspects of service to glorify the Lord throughout his life. However, serving the persecuted church has been most energizing for him. Sudan, as one of the countries where Christians have been facing some of the fiercest persecution in the world, has been particularly challenging, but also rewarding. He is well informed on what is happening with believers on the ground and has been instrumental in determining and overseeing our intervention strategy.
So let's jump right into the interview.
Hello, Yasin. How are you doing today?
Hello, Andrew. I am very happy to join with you. I'm doing well and fine. Praise the Lord.
Let's jump right in. Can you tell us why Sudan is number 7 on the World Watch List?
Yes, over the past many decades, the country was hostile to Christianity and Christians, both in policy and in practice. Just after the separation of South Sudan, the former president of Sudan declared Sharia leadership in that country, which changed the whole scenario of the country. They considered the country as fully to be managed by according to that law, which shows a different level from top leadership level to the local level leadership level, systematically persecutes believers. So everything happens in the top will reach to down to the ground to pressure and persecute believers in Sudan. And of course, to eradicate Christianity out of the country, to fully portray the country as fully Islamic countries. Of course, assisted with extreme terrorism activity and extremist people, the local community, also the persecutors of Christians and church. So it's like very radical eradication of Christianity in many forms, and which really challenged the church for many years, suffered many believers. But still, there was some transition as of last year in the country, but still it is ongoing persecution. Even though the regime of Bashir was fall down, the thinking, the mindset is still there across the leadership, across the community, so which is embedded in the thinking or daily practice of all officials and local governments and community. Those are mainly the major reasons that make this country very high in World Watch List.
So touching on that, Yasin, what kind of persecution would a believer expect to face in Sudan? Would they be kicked out of their community or face physical harm, jail, or even death?
Yes, many believers has been killed by governments in mass form, like killing the whole community, and sometimes very specific. Sometimes it looks like political game, but practically we understand that there is high push to persecute believers. The burning of a house and village where Christians live, that is how government usually do, and demolishing and burning of church, and burning down Bibles and torturing people, physical violence or torture, jailing top leaders, mainly who are really after the gospel. They really put them in jail, and in the jail there are very brutal torturing system that really makes them frustrate and flee. And as a result, they make sure that top leaders of the church has to flee the country. And social discrimination is part of that. Even at local level, the community also accuse if somebody receives Jesus Christ as a personal savior, they accuse that person as infidel or like a wrongdoing, then the court, all everything will judge against him and they punish in different forms. And of course, very strategic persecution that was happening in the past many years was the government, they started to disintegrate the unity of the church. Hence, they developed a separate leadership committee within a church, collecting people who are really paid by government, but looks like they are parts of that denomination. So they authorize them as the leaders of the church, and they kicked out, they accuse them in the courts, and they make sure that those government-backed committees took the power to do whatever. Then those government-backed committees sell the church properties and everything to other Muslim merchants. And, you know, they do everything on behalf of the direction of government. So there were many tactics they carry out. It's very immense, deep-rooted, systematic persecution against the church in the past many years.
Wow. Immense is the right word. It's so hard to hear what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Sudan. You know, but you mentioned earlier a transition in the government, and there's been some potentially good news because of that. Can you tell us more?
We have started to see some very good signals that really make us to thank the Lord, and but still to pray and wait on the Lord to make sure the changes are real. This new transitional government decided to dissolve those unlawful church committees, that the government fully dissolved those committees and that dropped the church, dropped the cases which were filed against the legitimate church leadership. There was also, as I shared you before, you know, government took many church properties, buildings, rights from the church ownership and or church leadership. Now we are able to see they are returning it back, giving it back to the church, legitimate church leadership, which is really encouraging. Yeah, there was, you know, legitimate contact from religious minister or minister from this transitional government to contact church leaderships and recognize them as a church, and they want to debate and negotiate. So all those, some measures really indicate there is a goodwill, there is a good intention to make a difference in the life of Christians and believers. But of course, we are so happy that despite all those challenges in the past, as well as still now, the resilience of the church, you know, the leadership is, they were never giving up in all those situations, which is really something we praise the Lord that even if it has been being jailed, it has been being beaten, it has been being accused in many forms, the church was so resilient, the church leadership was so amazing. And of course, as we journeyed as our ministry, that also encouraged them. Even in this transition time, we have been consulting and guiding the church leadership there. And so all those good indicators, plus the resilience of the church, plus the support from our ministry, our side, is also really something we should praise the Lord in this transitional time.
It's amazing to see how things are changing, and we'll continue to pray for that. Yes, and could you tell us how COVID-19 has been affecting Sudan in particular?
It's really frustrating for Sudan right now. When we consider the situation of COVID, it's really devastating for the country. This is the reality of the whole community, that many people are dependent in their daily, you know, earning. So with all those restrictions, you know, life become uphill. They couldn't really feed their family members. When we look at from the angle of believers, you know, especially converts who have been hiding out of the community, now they are double victims of that. They couldn't really go to their families, they couldn't really get help from governments. So life for believers, because most of believers are also economically weak, which makes them to depend on their daily income, which really frustrates many believers. We have been called for prayer from many of the believers that they have been suffering in this point because they couldn't really feed their families, members, and discrimination during any support that comes from government towards the believers is one of the challenges. People are suffering a lot and the economy is going down. Price of everything is going up and people are just struggling to survive. And this is one of the frustration, very, you know, dire situation for our lovely brothers and sisters, especially as I shared you, you know, the convert community, the MBBs who are living under pressure, under hiding themselves sometimes, that become challenging for them to help them or to cope up in this situation.
Yasin, you've mentioned about the perseverance of the church through persecution. Do you have some examples you could share with us?
Yeah. It's really amazing. When you look at the country, Sudan, and the life of the church, many just believers which we really in contact have been in jail for many years, for 2 years, 3 years. They have been tortured. They have been, you know, punished in many ways. But they were asked to leave the country. Some of the pastors have been asked to leave the country rather don't to preach any gospel at their church. But they say they are created, they are there, they are purposed to live there and share the gospel. And they choose to stay in their country. They choose to stay in prison rather than getting that offer. And also, of course, you know, especially new converts from Muslim community, those are the ones who really face personal challenge from community, families being accused, being tortured, being, you know, threatened to be raped. Just one lady just recently was a convert, but her stepfather wanted to rape her unless otherwise she returned to Islam. But she survived by prayer and going out to the believers. Yeah, as a community, you know, in different regions, like in the western part, southern part of the country, you know, as a community, those communities have been persecuted by government, partly because those are basically Christian dominant communities. But those communities are, you know, resistant and resilient to cope up with all those bombings, destruction of the church. Still they are flourishing church. Still they are surviving with their culture of helping each other, discipling their members. We can count a number of cases of perseverance, strengthening, you know, personal testimonies come out after they have been tortured. They say it's better to die rather than to give up my faith for Christ. So there are a number of such kind of testimonies. We have a number of that kind of experience as we work together with persecuted believers in Sudan.
So for our listeners, Yasin, could you tell us a few ways that we could be praying for believers in Sudan?
Thank you very much, because honestly, the country was closed even to support in many ways because of high persecution towards the church, high control of the movement of believers. You know, it was very challenging to support even the church. But during all those time, the biggest support they have received is prayer from all the body of Christ across the world. I think prayer is the most important support. Believers would really like to ask whenever we talk with them, they say, please pray for us. So yes, please continue praying for, you know, the persecuted believers. We need prayer that God will give us wisdom, a way forward to nurture the believers underground, the new converts, in their spiritual journey to understand more, to know Jesus Christ more, and to be strengthened in their faith. And yeah, I shared you about the resilience of the church and, you know, perseverance. It's really not yet over. So still the church needs strength, courage to go ahead at this time. So in general, it's good to pray for persecuted believers and also the leadership of the church. They have suffered for many years, but now they are considering to re-flourish, restart, rebuild. So that needs prayer, support, and courage from different parts of the body of Christ. Also for the leadership, they are really asking us and trying to influence the transitional government to really put those basic human rights, basic religious rights on the constitution. They say it's a very delicate transition, so they really ask for a prayer for this smooth transition and let God use this opportunity to make the right things at the right time. So we are really requesting those prayer points as part of the church in the region.
Well, let's pray. Father God, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in Sudan today. God, we pray that you would be with them. God, we pray that you would strengthen believers through this pandemic, God, that you would provide for their needs, God, and that you would help them to persevere through all of this. God, we pray through the continuing persecution that you would strengthen our brothers and sisters. We pray for the church leadership. God, may you give them wisdom in dealing with the provisional government and how to help them, God. And as they look to revitalize the church and relaunch the church, God, may you lead them and guide them, and may your church be stronger in Sudan than ever before. And God, we pray for the government of Sudan. We pray, Jesus, that they would do the right thing and that they would make human rights part of the constitution for every person in the country, including Christians. God, strengthen your church in Sudan. Bless them and keep them. We pray for Yasin today. We pray your blessing and favor upon him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us today, Yasin.
Thank you, Andrew, for having me. It was really a joy to share about the church in Sudan. God bless you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of the World Watch Weekly podcast. Please remember to leave a review and a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. You can also share the podcast so we can reach as many people as possible. We'll be back again next Wednesday with another episode. Looking forward to that, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Open Doors Canada's World Watch Weekly podcast. The goal of this podcast is to encourage Canadians to pray for our persecuted family. To find out more, please visit our website at www.opendoorsca.org and click on Get Involved and Prayer.